I'm Brian Moline, Illinois Public Media. For decades, a racial achievement gap in education has persisted, despite many and varied attempts to correct it. Amanda Lewis is an associate professor of social science at the University of Illinois Chicago and one of the authors of the book, Despite the Best Intentions, How Racial Inequality Thrives in Good Schools. Lewis and John Diamond spent 5 years studying the racial achievement gap at an otherwise successful suburban high school after receiving a call from a longtime school administrator. He was perplexed by the school's lack of progress in narrowing its achievement gap, so he asked Lewis and Diamond for their help to explain it. I spoke with Amanda Lewis about their research and conclusions. One note, the district is called Riverview, but that's a pseudonym to protect the identities of all those who were interviewed.
So John and I, we began doing what Mr. Weber, as we name him in the book, asked us to do, which was interviewing low-achieving black students at the school. But for us, that was just the starting point. And as we began that work, we then sought out resources to do what we really knew needed to be done, which was a much more comprehensive project. So we ended up, over the course of 4 school years, interviewing over 170 members of the school district, including low-achieving and high-achieving black students and their parents, Latino students and their parents, white students and their parents, school staff, administrators, security guards, school board members, all that sort of thing. And along the way, throughout that time, spent a lot of time at the school, kind of informally participating in school events and hanging out.
What conclusion did you come to here? What was the reason for the big achievement gap in this district, given that the circumstances seem to be set up for it to do so well?
Well, there are a couple things. Racial dynamics were functioning at multiple levels, both explicitly and subtly, in terms of resources, in terms of daily practices and interactions, to really fundamentally shape kids' experiences so that black and Latino students at the school were having really different kinds of experiences. And I'll give you just a few examples. One of the things we found was that teachers, personnel, despite their best intentions and really wanting all kids to do well, had held different performance expectations for different kids. Their sense of kids' trajectories, their sense of where these kids were headed, what they should push them towards, their sense of who belonged in honors and AP classes and who didn't, were in lots of very subtle ways shaped by race, and that those messages were then conveyed to students. So students were either pushed or not pushed into high-track classes. You know, some students would have teachers monitoring them as soon as they got a B in exam, asking what was going on, why weren't they doing better, and other students were told that a B in an exam was great, good job, you know, that sort of thing. And so the metaphor I use to capture it, because I think it's the only way to think about it, is sort of a death by a thousand cuts. What we found is lots of subtle things that over time add up to really different kinds of experiences.
What lessons do you think can be applied from what you learned at Riverview, and what from what you learned might be maybe a little unique to that particular district?
Generally in the U.S., and this is, I think, you know, manifests itself in Riverview but is not unique to it, is an absence of a commitment to the entire community. Like, we often will offer platitudes about a kind of general commitment to everybody, but when it comes time to actually making decisions about how resources are going to get distributed in schools and elsewhere, a lot of that falls away. One example in terms of discipline that became very clear to us is that school districts either need to enforce the rules the same across the board or change the rules. Because what happens in a lot of districts, Riverview just being one of them, is that we say, here are the rules, right? If you're in the hallway without a pass, you get detention. And what you have is powerful parents who are often white pushing to get their kid exempted from consequences, right? And unfortunately, that works a lot of the time. And what we realized in talking to people and watching what happened is that it may be that the school rules are too punitive in some cases. But if they're on the books and they're being applied to some kids, they should be applied to all kids. Because what would happen then is that the parents who really do have a lot of power would have to push for the rules themselves to change. And they would change for everybody rather than just their kids constantly getting an exception. So those would be some of the kinds of things that we're pushing people to think about.
Amanda Lewis is an associate professor of social science and a visiting fellow at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois Chicago. For more on this story, including how researchers have followed up on their initial study, you can visit our website at will.illinois.edu. I'm Brian Moline, Illinois Public Media.